last week during our worship time, it was kind of a good time, I think, but the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about writing a message about worship in conjunction with us being his house, all right? Because we're in a series called His House, right? Amen. All right. Anyway, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke a few things to me, and I wrote them down because I just don't remember anymore. And today's message is the result. Don't look at me like that. You know, you forget things that the Lord tells you. Now, come on. Okay. The title of the message today is Why We Worship. I'm certainly not saying that this is all there is to worship, because worship in itself is such a huge, huge topic on which you could probably preach endless sermons on. And I'm not trying to say that, but I really felt this was what God had for you and I today. So, this is the series His House. This is part 4. This is why we worship. All right? Would you stand with me, please, and we will repeat our Bible declaration together. In fact, we're going to really say it this time like, man, like we mean it, right? Like we believe it.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Yeah. All right. Take your Bible, hold it up to heaven, and repeat with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will talk the word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, everlasting seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen, let's go. You can be seated, which you are anyway, but before you put your Bible down, why don't you turn with me to John 4, 23 and 24, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James today, which I usually do. That's John 4, 23 and 24. It's a very familiar scripture where worship is concerned. In fact, I hear people say this all the time, so I know you know it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 23, but the hour is coming, and now is. When is the hour?
Now.
What?
Now.
When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. You know, it says when the true worshipers, that means there's false worshipers. Come on. If he made a differentiation between those two things, I mean, true worship. How many of you want to be a true worshiper this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I want to read that to you out of the Amplified Bible. A minute. All right. A time will come, however, indeed, it is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, or reality. For the Father is seeking just such people as these as his worshipers. Verse 24. God is a spirit, a spiritual being. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth or reality. All right? Gary Timmer, could you come and pray, please, as we get started this morning?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Wes. And God, as he preaches your word today, Lord, I hope it will help each one of us become better worshipers, God, more just to become worshipers, God. Father, in spirit and in truth, Lord. Father, let your word just pierce us today, God.
Amen.
That two-edged sword, Lord, that we need.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, let our lives be changed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let those around us be changed, God, because we become worshipers. Father, we just thank you, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. It's good to have you home.
Good to be home.
Mr. Florida. I'd like to go to Florida. All right. I just want to ask you a question before we really get started here. How many of you, since you have come to the Lord, have at one time or another had a problem worshiping? Okay, all right. You know, it might have been because you got in that fight with your spouse on the way here, and whether you know it or not, that was to keep you from worshiping. Mm-hmm. All right. Maybe it's because you're having trouble financially and that's all you can think about. Ultimately, it also has stopped you from worshiping. Yes. And receiving the word. But there's those times, at least that I've found, that, you know, none of that is happening, but the devil, say the devil. But the devil puts thoughts in my head, and I end up getting distracted by those thoughts, and I end up going down the road, and man, I'm just there worshiping, and I'm not worshiping. Amen? Okay. Okay. As temples of the Holy Spirit, which we are, you and I are in kind of a unique position where we can launch into worship at any time. Oh, you ought to get excited. In any place. And when we are alone or when we're with somebody. In other words, we can launch into worship whenever we choose to. Amen? I mean, isn't that awesome? Yeah. To have the freedom to worship. And that whenever you want to. We don't have to go to a physical location to worship. Because we have become the actual sanctuary of God on this earth. Amen? But Pastor Wes, that's a terrible thing to say. What about going to church? Isn't that important? Well, of course it is. Of course it is. But we are the actual church, amen? We are His house. We bring His Spirit here with us, amen? Amen. We've learned over the past couple of weeks that we have been fashioned into the Holy of Holies that houses the very presence of God. That's amazing. And one of the benefits of this, of having Him live in us, I've already told you, is the ability to call upon Him and worship Him at any time we need Him. Amen? I don't think we think of the benefits that we have. So when a person or a congregation intentionally focuses on glorifying God in the presence of His Word and in an atmosphere of praise and worship, then, stay with me here, then God's manifest presence and power is released to transform lives. Come on. Wherever that transformation is needed. Now that's awesome too. I would to God that you would be able to get up every Sunday morning and say, I cannot wait to go to Central Family Worship Center. I cannot wait to go to that church. I cannot wait to get into the presence of the Lord where worship is the focus, amen? And it isn't rushed through and we don't hurry up and do everything by the clock and where we can expect the change that we've been wanting or seeking. There's no reason why it can't be that way. I'm not saying it isn't that way for some, but maybe it isn't for others. Again, stay with me. Truthfully, the power and the presence of God that is ushered in when believers worship Him in spirit and in truth can actually, now listen to this, supernaturally shift mindsets, come on, break chains, bring deliverance to the oppressed, all right, and healing to broken bodies. Do you believe that this morning? Then you should be excited. Have you ever known someone to experience that? Or maybe you. Have you ever experienced that? Because when the atmosphere is charged with the presence of Almighty God, It's during those times of worship that the door is open to the spiritual dimension and God shows up in our services. I mean, would to God that we would always be knocking on that door. Amen. Always be trying to throw that door open. Because I love it when we can be sitting here I know it feels a little different in the front sometimes than it does in the back when the Spirit of God hits. And why that is, I really don't know. But that's why they say you should get under the spot where the glory comes out. Okay. Yeah, I'm that old. But times when, and I don't want to say you get goosebumps, and I don't want to say your hair stands up on your arms, because you know what? That happens at other times too. But there's an electricity in the air. All right? And we've gone into a dimension of the worship of the Lord, which we don't always get to every Sunday. But I love it when we get in that. I love it when the presence of God comes in a greater dimension into our services. There's nothing that can compare. Nothing that can compare to those social times, excuse me, those special times, okay? Those special times of intimate worship. When the flame of our own spiritual fire gets fanned, amen? Because of the manifest presence of God. Worship leader and singer, songwriter, and author, and you better not have any more titles, Matt Redman. How many of you heard of Matt Redman? He says this: "So often when my worship has dried up, it's because I haven't been fueling the fire. I haven't set a time aside to soak myself under the showers of God's revelation. Oftentimes, time is the key factor. But if we take time, make time to soak ourselves in God's word and his presence and spend time with other believers, then we'll find that the revelation of who he is floods back into our lives, and our heart's response with a blaze of worship will happen once more." What is he saying? What he's saying is, if you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing, don't expect worship to be as good as you really want it to be. All right? That's the really drummed down version of it. You have got to be in the presence of the Lord more often than you are on a Sunday morning. This is awesome here, and worship does it, and the preaching of the word, I pray, does it. You feel the presence of the Lord, but there's no reason, and Serena and I have said it over and over again, there's no reason why you can't experience that in your private time as well. Please hear me, okay? Because this is important. It boils down to taking time to seek his face. Everything boils down to taking time to seek his face. I can't feel God. Have you taken time to seek his face? I haven't heard God. Have you taken time to seek his face? I just don't know. Have you taken time to ask God? Have you taken time to really do that? All right. If you study the history of the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll find that when believers have had a strong passion for worship, there was always a strong manifestation of God's supernatural presence. Why? Because worship is like a magnet for the manifestation of God. Amen? Amen. Worship is like a magnet for the manifestation of God. One of the most powerful examples in the Old Testament is seen in the life of Solomon. You probably already know this, but how many of you know that Solomon was serious about worshiping God? Yeah. Okay, he was serious. Whether it was carrying out the intricate details of building the temple, because that was worship, or the overseeing of the painstaking preparation of the animal sacrifices, okay, that at that time was worship. But his well-organized and well-planned heart efforts resulted in God's supernatural presence sweeping in and filling the temple. Oh, God, I want that to happen. Listen, let me read to you what it says the day they dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14, verse 13. "Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good." This is a worship service, amen. "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. The heavy presence of his glory was so intense. It was so weighty as a result of this worship service that the priests actually collapsed. They couldn't stand under the weight of all of it. They couldn't do it. I mean, would to God that the manifest presence of the glory of God would be so strong here every Sunday morning. I mean, we see this intense presence of God manifesting during times of worship throughout the Old Testament. It's all over. But worship was, and you know this, was very important during the time of the New Testament. For example, the Gospel of Luke begins with worship. Luke 1, 46 through 56, I won't read it, but it says, basically, when Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, the Bible tells us that Mary worshiped the Lord for choosing her above all other women to be the one to birth the coming Messiah. And then in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was born, a choir of angels appeared in the night. And they were declaring glorious praises to God at the moment of Christ's birth. Glory to God. Not to mention that from the very beginning to the very end of the book of Revelation, worship is an important, it's a huge part of God's plan for his people. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, "I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven." Theologian Albert Barnes noted the importance of praise and worship in the lives of those of us who know Christ when he said, "Praise is one of the great duties of the redeemed, for it will be their employment forever." And theologian Karl Barth, which I've never heard of before, said this, "Worship is the most momentous, the most urgent, the most glorious action that can take place in a human life. And that's because it gets us ready for what's to come." Glory to God. Glory to God. Yet, as important as worship is, surveys and statistics, show us that most Christians don't understand the true nature or true value of worship. According to a George Barna survey, and probably most of you have heard of George Barna, when asked to define what worship means, 2 out of 3 Christians, all right? 2 out of 3, not kids, 2 out of 3 Christian adults were unable to offer an appropriate definition or description of what worship is. He additionally found that among adults who regularly attend church services, half of them admit that they haven't experienced God's manifest presence at any time during the past year. Now remember, okay, remember, this isn't among Easter and Christmas-only churchgoers, okay? That isn't where the survey was done. This is from people who attend church the average of every other week, okay? Which maybe isn't great, but at least it's something, okay? But what I'm saying, they're asking people that go to church, that sit in the worship services or stand in worship services, and yet they don't feel the manifest presence of God. And then they're admitting that when they're not in church, they're still not feeling it. I don't think there's anything more glorious than to feel the presence of God come into a room than when you're praying alone. And he comes to see you. Amen. Barna also made this statement. This is the last one, okay? "For most saints, worship is to satisfy or please themselves, not honor or please God." I'm going to say that again. Most saints worship is to satisfy or please themselves, not to honor or please God. Amazingly, okay, very few worship service regulars argue that worship is something they do primarily for God. A substantially larger percentage of attendees claim that attending a worship service is something they do for personal benefits and pleasure. Oh, that's terrible. No, no, listen to that, what he said. they attend church on a Sunday morning for their own personal benefit and pleasure. Okay, I wasn't truthful. I got one more. And finally, pastor and author David Jeremiah, okay, summed it all up. If you don't worship, you'll never experience God. If you don't worship, you'll never experience God. I mean, worship is really that vital. But as important as it is, there's a general lack of understanding concerning why we worship. It's odd, it's strange, you know, but, you know, I can't speak for you, right? Say, I can't speak for Pastor Wes. Good, good. Don't ever try, please. But I love good worship music. I mean, I love it. I love our praise team and the way they usher us into the presence of the Lord, okay? There's no complaint there. But there's something all of us need to remember, that no matter how professionally, all right, no matter how professionally that music is performed, and please hear me, again, no matter how professionally that music is performed, we have to remember that when worship is performed only out of talent and ability, and from the head and not the heart, and using one's voice or fingers on an instrument, that doesn't necessarily constitute true worship. It can sound great. It can sound... I would rather have an anointed praise team than a professional praise team. I can know that every Sunday we're going somewhere. And we have that. I'm not saying they're not professional. Okay, I'm going to stop there. What happens, you see, true worship will change the air and change the individual with the power and the presence of God himself. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Where you have just been in a worship service where, you know, and we have had them, we've had many of them, and we'll have more, but where you just can't stop worshiping. We just continue to roll and continue to go, and when it's done, right? But what a wonderful thing to just go on and praise and worship, not tire, feel the presence of the Lord more and more. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's impressive when a well-trained voice fabulously sings the lyrics of a worship song, okay? Or when an instrumentalist plays a worship song with all this skill. It's really something. Or even when a dancer dances to worship music with real great poise and great grace. But if people who do these things are only performing to impress those who are in the audience or the congregation, come on, people. It really doesn't qualify as worship. Are you ready for me today? In order for it to be true worship, it has to come from a different place other than talent and ability. That's important. It's important. It's great when it sounds good, but let me tell you something. In order for it to be true worship, it has to come from a different place other than talent or ability. True and pure worship must come from here. Amen. Must come from the heart. I mean, something happens. Something happens when Christians worship in spirit and in truth. God himself said that we should, and that's what he was looking for, so that's what we want to do. The kind of true worship that he wants. But that kind of true worship causes believers to enter into the realm of the Spirit. Come on. And they literally can become channels or conduits through which the Spirit of God enters the atmosphere. And when God's divine presence manifests itself, we're in the atmosphere for miracles. In chapter 4 of John, verses 23 and 24 that we just read at the beginning of the service, Jesus spoke about this kind of worship, all right? He said this, and I'm going to read it again. But the hour is coming. We can almost set that aside because he says, and now is, okay? When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So in order for us to worship, truly worship the Father, we've got to worship him in spirit and truth because, you know, that's the kind that the Father is seeking to worship him. God is a spirit. Are we with that? God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. If you notice, in these two small verses, Jesus used the word worship five times. Five times. The word worship is translated from the Greek word prokuneo, which is a compound of the two words pros and kuno. The word pros means toward, and please hear this, and the word kuneo means to kiss. Yeah, to kiss. Kiss. I don't want you to feel left out over here. When these two words are put together and compounded into one, they form this word proskuneho, which means to fall on the ground towards someone and kiss them. This word, it paints the picture of one who has prostrated themselves either inwardly or outwardly, okay, bowing their heart before God and worshiping him with kisses of intimate adoration. The guys get all uncomfortable with that. I think what we have to understand is there is an intimate kind of worship that the Lord desires. It will be for him, and it will be for you. And there will be a kind of a mutual benefit, if you will. Why would worship have to be fall down and kiss? I can't see any other reason than to try to promote for us to understand there's intimacy. All right. During the time that the New Testament was being written, the word worship was especially used to depict one who fell on the ground prostrate before a superior to worship, all right? Or to collapse onto one's face or onto one's knees in order to worship. This word describes worshipers who extended their arms towards a God in absolute love and absolute affection and devotion, and even lovingly blew kisses, yes, lovingly blew kisses toward that God. That's what this word pictures. Furthermore, the word worship also pictures one who uses every and all available methods available, all right, to adore and worship a God. For you and I, it wouldn't be a God, it'd be the God, all right? Let me say this again. It pictures one who uses every and all available methods necessary to adore and worship God. So worship may include, and understand what this is saying, it may include singing. It may include playing musical instruments. It may include dancing or different kinds of movements and gestures like hand raising, okay? Or just words to convey adoration and worship. In John 4:23-34, the use of this word proskuneo tells us that God seeks those to worship him with mind, the body, and the spirit. Okay? Because in authentic worship, there's an intellectual dimension, a physical dimension, and a spiritual dimension. Okay? Nobody probably made this any clearer than the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians. And if you remember, well, never mind. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:15, this is out of the Amplified, he says this, "Then what am I to do? I will pray with the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me. And I will pray with the mind, using words I understand. I will sing with the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me. And I will sing with the mind, using words and understanding." In this verse, Paul clearly states to you and I that true worship is both intellectual and spiritual. It involves both spirit or heart and the mind or the head. Okay? So we really do at times, we even with our heart worship, there has to be some head worship. Are you with me? You know, when you're worshiping from your heart, there's got to be a recognition and an understanding of who God is. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we can see that God has made us spirit, soul, and body. We're three-part beings. Every part, say every part. Every part of who we are is to be involved in worship. Every part of who we are. And because God has placed his own spirit on the inside of us believers, it means we don't have to find a physical building to enter into. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul stated this truth, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" I've been preaching on this for 3 weeks, okay? I'm just going to review just a little bit. The Holy Spirit made us to be a home so fabulous, if you remember all the ways it's to be adorned by the words, that the Greek that is used. But anyway, the Holy Spirit made us to be a home that is so fabulous that he was pleased to move in, settle down, and permanently take up residency in our hearts, and we became his temple. Think about it. The moment of your new birth, all right, you became a walking sanctuary for the very presence of God himself. Now, as temples of the Holy Spirit, we are in a position to launch out into worship, like we talked about, any place, any time of day, whenever we choose to humbly bow our hearts before God in worshipful praise. Isn't it awesome to know? Isn't it awesome to know that we seriously, and I want to get this across to you, and then I'm going to say something else, okay? Isn't it awesome to know that we don't have to go to a physical location to worship? We don't, because he has taken up residence on the inside of us. However, say however. However. All right, you guys say however. However. The howevers have it. However, the Bible talks about the powerful potential that we possess as believers when we corporately worship alongside other believers in a church meeting or in a Christian gathering. It is so different, so different. It's in those moments of true and authentic worship, and when it takes place in a room full of united believers, all right, like on a Sunday morning, I love this, the portion of Christ that each one of us carries, glory to God, the portion of Christ that each one of us carries is released to produce a powerful and combined supply of his holy presence. That's why worship is so awesome when you're in the corporate setting. And I know some of you don't like to be in a corporate setting, but you're in a corporate setting, okay? It's different than your personal time. It's totally different, but both are awesome. You have to understand. I'm cutting some things out, I'm sorry. As wonderful and as essential as it is to worship at will, and when we are alone at any time or any place, the special sense of God's presence that is ushered in when we are worshiping with other believers is unlike any other experience. okay? Unlike any other experience. And we should never forsake the assembling of ourselves together, like it says in Hebrews 10:25. But we should always remember this one thing, okay? And this is such a simple thing. It's almost like, you didn't even have to say that, Pastor West, but we should always remember that the most important thing about worship is what? It's God. It's God. It's the point of worship. The act of true worship occurs when we reach a point of total abandonment in God's presence. When we focus solely on Him, and we find that we are lost in adoration of who He is. Maybe some of you get that every Sunday. That's awesome. Maybe you don't. But we should. Amen? Amen? Unfortunately, doing what I just said, it isn't always as easy as it might sound. We can raise our hands and we can close our eyes and we can appear to worship and look the part, but the question is, what is your mind thinking about? What is your mind thinking about? You know, is it fixed on God or is it fixed on something else? I know that personally, all right, when I try to worship with abandonment, the devil doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. I know this because there are times that all of a sudden, during worship, my mind gets distracted and it has a hard time focusing on what it's supposed to focus on. All kinds of thoughts flood my brain, you know? And some of those thoughts aren't so nice either. But what happens is they keep on flooding my brain until finally one will get my attention and pull me away from worship. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh my goodness, you can think of great ways to fix things during worship. Did you know that? I think we go through more spiritual warfare than we think that we do when we worship, or when we try to worship, when we begin knocking on the door, okay? And the reason why is because the devil knows. He knows that if we can break through his barriers, we'll break into the presence of a God where healing and deliverance and the changing of lives can take place. And he fights against that. And he does that in your thought life. And we've talked about it before, you know, the battle is, of course, in the mind. And he honestly really doesn't possess any power, but he has the ability, if you will, to bug us so much that we believe things and we start acting like the way we're thinking. But it's during those times, okay, when he's fighting us, and I would suggest that you do it too, because I do this. It's during those times that I benefit from the principle of binding and loosing. You know, I did that a lot when I first got saved, man. I did. But for some reason, it seems to take a back seat. But when I'm in worship and those thoughts come in, you know, when the distracting thought, and I finally realize that I'm on that thought, all right, then I'll bind the power of Satan. I'll loose the power of God, you know, over my mind, whatever, and go on. The focus of our worship should always be God. I mean, it's great, and it happens, and I love it, but you know, if your focus of worship is, I like worship in that church. I like to hear the worship in that church. You're missing it, all right? You're missing it. Worship has got to be not about you in that place. It's got to be about God. You know, but how many times do we take the place? How many times do we step into that place? Half the time without realizing it. But God's a forgiving God. Praise God. Our focus, the focus of our worship should always be God. As individuals, as believers, or whatever, when we humble ourselves before Him, and when we set our face wholly upon Him, and we direct our expressions of love to him. In our songs and melodies of praise and thanksgiving, we set that toward him. We will accomplish, glory to God, we'll accomplish breakthrough into the spiritual as well as breakthrough into our own lives. How many of you value worship? I'm not going to look. I wonder if we could even value it more. Do you know what I'm saying? Could we value it more? I want to see breakthrough in some of your lives. I want to see breakthrough in my life. And no, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I read a book once that said the pastor should tell his congregation everything he's struggling with. Didn't finish that book. But as we worship, our worship ascends to him like loving, intimate kisses upon his face. And when God receives this worship, okay, when he receives this worship, the scriptures show us that it touches him. It touches him deeply. In fact, he literally chooses to enter into the mindset in the midst of what that worship service is doing and become a part of what is happening. You ever thought about that? He's coming because he wants to be a part of what's happening here. That's good stuff. See, when he comes in, that's the moment. That's the exact time when the atmosphere becomes divinely charged with the power that transforms and sets the people here that are worshiping free. That's when it happens. I don't know about you, and I'm done, okay? I don't know about you, but I want that both in my personal worship and in my corporate worship, I want what I've been talking about. I want every time we come here, you know, and that doesn't mean that we have to sing 97 songs. If God wants to, he'll come in one or two. Or maybe it'll be five, maybe 10, maybe just the whole time we're just going to worship him because we love him. How many of you want that this morning? How many, come on, let me see your hands. How many of you want that this morning? You want that intimacy? You want that awareness of the presence? I tear up when I think of Sunday morning here. It's happened many times, okay? But I want to see it again, okay? But I won't make it happen, okay? I won't make it happen. You know, if you want to see it here, if you want to see it happen in your life too, then why don't you come to this altar and let me pray for you, okay? Just stand with me, please. If you want to see that revival of worship, if you will, that recommitment, if it's that, you want to see that in your life, then come to this altar. I mean, just about every one of you raised your hands, but I just want to pray. Okay? Heavenly Father, you see those that have responded. Lord, you've seen and do see their heart's desire, God, to reestablish worship, to just get it to the place where it should be. I pray that you would give them such a powerful sense of your presence in their prayer time, in their worship time. I pray also that the powerful sense of your presence, that they would feel it here, oh God. And I pray, God, that it would be here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.